Let's turn into 1 Corinthians, back into chapter 7. And we left off in the 34th verse. And the thinking again that I think so many thoughts, I guess, would come through our minds and hearts. But again, just to reiterate, brothers and sisters, that the Word of God is very clear on this. It is not more spiritual to be single nor to be married. The spiritual part is resting in the gift or the proper gift that the Lord has put in your life. And it's not something to struggle with. It's just something to seek Him about. And He's faithful, and He's faithful to reveal the things to us. I was thinking about how, again, He plants so many things in our life. But again, if you know much about crops or even about trees, even about some cactus and things of that nature, there's some things that'll just, you plant them and literally they'll be springing up overnight. There's some things that you plant them, it takes 100 years for them to come up. So everything's got a season. The thing that we need to be is patient with the Lord and what He's doing in our life. So let's trust Him in that. But getting back to the 34th verse, it says there, "There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Now we read back in the 29th verse, just to kind of bring us up to speed. It says, "The time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none." So again, this truly is on the surface encouraging us that, yes, it may be easier to worship the Lord when we don't have a spouse, when we don't have children in some respect. But at the same time, I know that God is faithful, and He showed me that through sweet sisters. One was named Hannah, and one was named Ruth. And I think of the virtuous woman that's there in Proverbs 31 that shows me that she had a husband and she had children. And you know what? She was a mighty testimony, and she was the one that had done virtuously. Isn't that beautiful? So again, we need to understand the underlying of what God is talking about here. And really He's talking about is we need to be unmarried in heart to the things of this world. Do you understand? And that's really what He's saying to us, is we need to understand what is important. We have to get, by the grace of God, our eyes, and that's where He's been turning my heart for this Sunday, is to get them on the eternal. See, I want to have these, you know, people talk about, and you know, to have X-ray vision and all that. Did you know you can have eternal vision? That's a neat thing, see. The average eye, it's not even going to even get a glimpse of that. They just think you're crazy. But see, when you get crazy for the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you're going to see things that eye has not seen. Isn't that precious? Oh, but the Spirit can reveal them. And I hope you're seeing them in your heart today. There's a high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus, and it is absolutely real. And He shows me the things, by the grace of God, that He's taking of His and making mine. And it's a precious thing. That's the walk that Jesus Christ is calling to us. So again, sure, it may be that if you do have the gift, again, to be celibate, it may be easier that way. But if God has given you the gift to be a good husband or to be a good wife, praise God for that as well too. All right. So again, this is talking about the state of the heart and our communication and love and fellowship and our surrendered life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, going on to verse 35. "And this I speak for your own profit." And I love how He brings that out. A lot of times we think that we're doing stuff for God. Again, I might even mention her in a little bit later, but I've met many of people that say, "What I'm doing for God." Oh my. It's what Christ does in me. And this is to my benefit, and this is to your profit. And by the grace of God, it is all that. So again, let's put it aside. Let's quit worrying about the great gift and the great contribution that we have been making to God. Get over ourselves and then start to grow up. And that's the truth. There's a proper gift, and we're going to really get into that tonight by the grace of God. And it's a wonderful thing. And it means so many different things, but especially on the surface, is it's telling you to be content where He's put you. Don't seek something else. He's given every man that a certain ability. He's given him a certain treasure. And it may be to just sit still and know that He is God. And that's truly for all of us. But again, so often we get our eyes upon ourselves, upon the wrong things, instead of His willing and what He wants to do in our life. But it goes on to say, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely. This is an honorable thing. And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And I think that's such a marvelous verse. The Lord has really impressed upon that verse upon me about the past year and a half. Just to be to attend upon the Lord without distraction. Boy, what a gut check that is. You know, what a heart check that is. Where have I been? Where am I in my walk with the Lord? Is it truly about attending upon the things? And what are the things of the Lord? It's His Son. It's His Word. Is this what I'm attending to? Is this the most important thing? I mean, again, we talked about it on Sunday. What great salvation, I mean, that is in our presence. And what He wants to bring us to, and what He is bringing us to, if we'll allow Him. But again, we have to be in harmony with this. But yet again, so many times we're picking and choosing. You know, we're waiting for somebody. I was thinking again, boy, in certain meetings, and I pray that the Lord doesn't have this happen here, but again, it can happen anywhere when we get out of fellowship with God. It's like they're waiting for somebody to say something that they don't like. They're waiting for the pastor to maybe he didn't remember to call them back, or he didn't, you know, I'm telling you, I love you people. I really do, by the grace of God, and it's the Lord. And I before Him, I'm telling you, I want to do the best that He can put in my life. I really do. There's an earnest for that. But it's Him. And you know what, though? But I'm not perfect. And I'm not trying to lay off an excuse. But I would do anything by the grace of God that I could do. And I mean that. That's just Him. But you know what? There's sometimes I might forget something. There's something I might have on my mind or my heart that the Lord has that way. And maybe I walked by somebody and I didn't recognize them. And God forbid, I always want to, you know, that I love you. But do you think that might have been for you just to maybe get over that too, just for the moment? What do you think? And one another? See, those are the things that we have to be about, tending unto the things of the Lord without distraction. We can get distracted. And really, brothers and sisters, I'm starting to see, truly, the ones that are really going after God's best, the ones that are really drawn into the Word of God, it seems that the things that they get distracted with are the others that are almost, you know, and again, I shouldn't say almost, that are really running for the deeper things of God. You know, that diamond dust that Brother Hill used to speak about, it really is out there. We're cutting one another. But we need to have our eyes upon Him. We need to be tending to the things of the Lord. Not the things of me personally. Not of the events of what I think is important to me, or a chip on my shoulder because I'm just waiting for that brother or sister to blow it. I mean it. I'm telling you, we can be like that. It's been on my heart heavy this week. We need to be over that type of a thing. We need to be upon the things of the Lord. And again, what He's bringing out here is if you do have that proper gift, that honorable gift, in a sense of being able to be single that way, that's a wonderful thing. But remember, the true meaning of this is, again, of the heart is what it's speaking here. And we need to all attend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. All right, verse 36. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do that he will, he sinneth not. Let them marry. Okay, what this is getting into in the 36th and the 37th and 38th verse here, I'll introduce this a little bit, is that some of the tradition, in a sense, of Jewish culture, and especially back then, the fathers would vow their daughters to the Lord. They would. They would have a daughter, and they would be encouraged in their heart of the Lord that that daughter would be kept a virgin. And she would just stay that way the rest of her life. And that would be something that was a proper gift that dad would pray and would believe that God had put in his heart for that daughter. But let's read on what this is. Again, it says, but if so require, let him do that he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Okay, now, let's go to the 37th verse. Nevertheless, He that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. And again, what this is speaking of is if there is a change of heart with this dad, and that he knows in his heart that his daughter does have a desire to marry, then that was okay. It was all right that the Lord was showing that proper gift of celibacy wasn't for that woman. That she needed to have that marriage, that marriage was honorable, that there was a union that needed to be taking place there, that God would ordain and that God would be for. But again, it says there in the 37th verse, but if he can remain steadfast in his heart, and that is in that harmony, speaking there, meaning that proper gift, he doeth well to keep that virgin the way she is. And again, I think the Lord is telling us that living the gift of God is always a good thing. Let's put it down into real, I think, simple terms. Just be who you are before the Lord. Don't think you're this way or you're that way just because you may think you're that way or somebody else may think you're that way. I'm talking about anything. Just be who God has made you. All right? Now again, we're talking about the Word of God. But we all have a proper gift. We all are different. We all have things and attributes and characteristics and truly these wonderful gifts that the Lord has given us. But let's not covet somebody else's gift in a sense. Let's be satisfied and thankful for what we have and who we are. Precious. All right? I even think about it in the sense of, jobs in the world. I know that there's different ones that have had a hard time watching those of their maybe same peer group. They have a better job. Or in a sense, they think. They get paid more money, let's put it that way. They have more esteem. Is that what the Lord says is important in the Word of God? No. It says if we're a servant, do it heartily, doesn't it? Praise God. Not with eye service. And again, just trust in Him that's where He's got us. All right? There's so many wonderful meanings in this. But again, it goes back so often and so quickly to be content with such things that you have. That doesn't mean to be complacent. I talk to the young people and I talk to everyone very much this way, is that, I love to be a go-getter. I think God will give you goals. He'll give you aspirations. But make sure they're godly and then go after them. I love to see the young people. We have over 20-some young people in this meeting right now that are attending college. That's fabulous. I think if the Lord is allowing that to happen in a young person's life, unless divinely they're being told not to do that, I think it's a great thing to do. Under the hand of God. I think it's precious. It just magnifies again what God can do. We don't need to keep ourselves from things in a sense of this world, in a sense of higher education and things of that nature. God can allow us to be in that, but we don't have to be a part of it. What do you think of that? My holiness, I'm going to tell you, which isn't holy. It'll keep me from a lot of benefit that God wanted to put in my life. I've seen it happen in people's lives. And it's a sad thing. I've seen them miss many a blessing that God wanted to put in their lives because of their self-righteousness. It's the truth. All right? So you can chew on that one for a while, and I'm sure I'll get a phone call or two. All right. So it says, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will. We're back here in the 37th verse. And hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. And again, this reason that it's bringing out better is it's not a more spiritual thing to be married or to not be married. It's just that it's easier. It could be easier if God has given you that proper gift. All right, going on to the 39th verse. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. And it works likewise as well, too. And what a statement there. That talks about how permanent marriage is in the eyes of God. It's a permanent thing. It's a very, very sovereign thing in the eyes of God. Okay. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. I love how that is tagged on there as well, too. So, again, she is free to be married. It would be better. She'll be happier, it says in the 40th verse, if she can abide as a single person. But if she does marry, it's okay. She has the liberty to do that. but only to another Christian. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 6:14. And that's speaking about not being unequally yoked together. Mm-hmm. Now, as the Lord will continue you on in this walk, I hope He convicts young people and middle-aged people and maybe older people alike that may be hooking up. I think it's a lot easier. I know it's a lot easier if the person that you'll be marrying has given their heart away to the Lord. And I'm not just talking in salvation. I'm talking about really running for the deep things of God. It'll make it easier. It really will. And God is still faithful, don't get me wrong. But it truly is a wonderful thing when we're of like faith. And I'm talking about like faith on fire. It's the truth. It's hard to keep dragging that other one along sometimes. But at the same time, God is in it. God can use it. And God is faithful. So I just say that as a precursor. I'd be hindering you if I didn't tell you that. I really would. Now, those that might be in a situation like that, you know, you just pray for my wife. She's got to keep pulling me along. So, you know, it's a precious thing to encourage one another, isn't it? It is. It's awesome. So just continue in prayer. God said that even if you were married to an unbeliever, if that unbeliever is happy to stay with you, you stay with them. And God will sanctify that home. Doesn't mean that that person is saved. No. But you know what? He'll bless that because of the blessings that He's put in your life. Isn't that precious? Yeah. Again, that's how faithful He is. And I believe that the prayers of the righteous avail much. Amen. They do. And you keep praying for people. You'll make mistakes, brothers and sisters. I'm going to make them too. But you know what? That's what prayer's for. And it is. That's what's believing and trusting God for. All right? It doesn't mean that He's ever going to condone sin. Don't get me wrong. That's not going to happen. But you know what? He's faithful. And He understands a repentant heart. And He's the God that is just so merciful. So never, ever give up on how much He loves you. All right, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Again, that Brother Paul so sweetly had that spiritual discernment and spiritual wisdom. Now tonight, the Lord has encouraged me to go back and review chapter 7. Now we've examined many of the surface meanings of this wonderful chapter. But tonight... And I think it was a sweet thing how he delayed the finishing of chapter 7 last week because I believe he put on my heart, let's go back and study in detail some of these types and shadows. He was really sweet in opening a lot of these things up to the fellowship that I had with him. There's so many precious, again, meanings that you'll never exhaust. I just want you to know that. You'll never exhaust the Word of God. It's endless. But I think that He's given me a couple little layers of the onion for my life that I've been able to peel back, or He's peeled back for me. And I believe that He wants us to share this evening. All right. We're going to find that the pivotal verse, I really believe, in this whole chapter, and this was so sweet to me as well, too, is Brother Copley makes note of it as well, too, is found in verse 7. And if you go back to the 7th chapter, which we're in, and the 7th verse, and 1 Corinthians happens to be the 7th book of the Bible. Isn't that kind of interesting? So you have a 7, a 7, and a 7. Not to get too caught up into numbers, but I believe this is truly a verse that speaks of spiritual perfection in our life. But it says there in that 7th verse, "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God." And I believe that this is truly the pivotal point of this 7th chapter and the spiritual perfection that is here, that every man has a proper gift of God. Now, some gifts may be this or that, but there is one common gift, I believe, that God has given to all. And let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Now remember this, just because, and even think of this, just because somebody gives a gift doesn't mean it's always received, does it? And it's the truth. Okay? So I want you to follow me on this, and I don't want you to think we're going somewhere that's outside of the Word of God. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." This is the gift of opportunity that He has given to all men. And it stems from that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All right? And He gave His only begotten Son because His will, His desire, was that all men would be saved and come to a full knowledge. Not just a knowledge, but a full knowledge of the truth. Now, we understand in the Word of God, and is so evident in the life that we've lived and throughout history, this gift isn't accepted by everyone, is it? It's just not. We have a lot of different religions. We have a lot of people that just blatantly hate Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. We have a God that's not a respecter of person. And He's not. If He just came to certain ones, He would have been a respecter of person. He gave that gift of love because He loved the world. He gave it to all men. All right? Now, again, you have to receive it. You have to believe that Christ is Savior. I was dealing with a man today, and it was so precious. He's a dear friend of mine. He's being challenged. So many times we can be challenged in the affairs of the heart. And he is somewhat interested in a woman that isn't caught up into a religion, that their religion does not profess Jesus Christ as Savior. They talk about Jesus a lot. They think that Jesus is a good person, but He's just a God. Just kind of a secondary thing, and we're all gods, and if you know different religions, you might know where I'm going with that, but I don't need to even note it. But the precious thing was, is God encouraged him to stand in defense of the gospel, bring the word of God out to this lady, and she accepted Christ as Savior. So, you never know where that might go. But again, this is a man that the Lord has had me and put into my life about these last 3 years, and has gone through some hard things, but it's precious how God has substantiated Himself in that life. But again, you're going to see that in this verse that His will is not just salvation, but it's complete knowledge. Complete knowledge. God, in His wonderful grace, He gave the Holy Spirit. He had His Son leave so the Holy Spirit could come and lead us into all truth. A full knowledge of the truth. There was a desire, but God not only has a plan, He has the tools to get the plan done. And the tool to get all truth into our life is the Holy Spirit. That's the teacher. That's the only one that could come. All right? So this is, again, lining that up. Now, God said we'd be led into all truth. He says also in the Word of God that we would grow into all of His perfect and complete will of God. That we would know all the love of God. Think about that. Remember when He talks about all the dimensions of His love in Ephesians? And He's looking for those, the Word of God says, that are fully mature in this revelation. He says, I'm seeking the true worshiper that worships Me in spirit and in truth. He goes on to say that I'm seeking a people for My name's sake. He's seeking those that will suffer together with Him. Isn't that precious? I was thinking again in that suffer together with Him, we go back to the 28th verse of this 7th chapter. Do you remember how it said there? If thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble. All right? Now, if you go on with the Lord, and if you really love the Lord, and you want the Lord to grow up into your life, this word trouble is more perfectly translated as pressed. And I believe you're going to be pressed out of measure. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Praise God. And this is what He's doing now. And it's so precious, brothers and sisters. We have to understand, you know, we're not going to be transformed over there. You're being transformed here. What place you take here by the grace of God is the place that you're going to take there. If you're going to be a servant here, you're going to be a servant there. By the grace of God, if you're going to be a full overcomer and you're taking that espousalship now, you'll be espoused to Him over there. Isn't that precious? Again, but that's how important this time and our walk with God is at this moment. So I hope we can say with confidence that we take and believe Him at His Word. And now with this scripture that we've talked about here, let's go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says there, for whom He did foreknow, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, what a wonderful verse. So, in a sense, everybody has had the same opportunity for this prize. But God in His foreknowledge, this is that God we know is this omniscient God, nothing's hid from Him from the very beginning. He's known everything. And He knew and He saw those that would believe. And He knows those who believe how far they're going to run the race course. Did you hear that? In God's foreknowledge, He knows how far you're going to run that race course. Are you going to finish it? The Word of God says that there's finishers. There's the winners of the race. There's ones that run with and finish with joy. Isn't that precious? But then we see the other ones too that are on the waylaid, distracted. That's why it says, tend unto the things of the Lord, upon the things of the Lord without distraction. And then we see the ones that absolutely just quit. And God knows that. God knows those. So I believe here's kind of the answer to that gift is in His infinite knowledge. It says here in the verse 29, He predestinated all of His believers into one image. Follow me on this, okay? Into one image. One thing and the only pleasing thing, and it had to be the image of His Son. Now, the problem is a lot of people then, and I'm talking Christians, will say, well, then every Christian is equal in that image and everybody's just the same. God forbid, that's not how it is at all. Sure, we're all in the same image, but by the grace of God, the Bible is pleading with us to grow up and to mature. And let the glory to be created us, to create us into the same image, the very image of God. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's look at that. It says it here a little bit different way. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. But there's a condition to be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that only happens by the Holy Spirit. So you can see that the Lord is calling to us. He's saying, okay, now if you want to go the glory way, remember we talk about the gospel of the glory, the gospel of the crown. That's Brother Paul. We need to submit to that. And the only one that can bring that glorious life into us is the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, all of His children are going to have His image. But what image are we going to have? And I believe the Lord Himself showed us that, even on His wonderful brief stint on this planet. Are we going to be like Him as the baby in the manger? What do you think about that? Are you going to be like Him when He was the boy that was in the temple? Now, was He perfect all those? Was He perfect as the baby? Was he very God of very God as a baby? Sure He was. Come on now, follow. Just think of the Lord here. Not trying to get too deep, it's just this is the way it is. He was very God of very God as a baby. But was He ready? Was He ready at that time? Oh no. But He was still perfect. Absolutely. Then as the boy in the temple. Obviously there was a lot more development there. There was a lot more maturity there. But He wasn't ready then yet, was He? Amen. But then there was a day, there was a time. And we talked about that time. It was so precious when He rode back into Jerusalem. And He knew He was ready. Praise God. He knew that His time was come. He knew that the fulfillment was ready to be done. Now, the bride has made herself ready. Are you feeling ready? By the grace of God, I mean, really, I'm not just talking about in your own mind or something. I'm talking about of the heart. Is God causing you to sense, by the grace of God, Lord, I'm being readied. I'm being ready to be prepared. Isn't that what Brother Paul said? The time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. That wasn't just for one life, brothers and sisters. God is offering that to us. He said there was a crown of rejoicing, a glorious crown that was laid up for Him. But He said, it was not just for me. It's also for them that love His appearing also. Yeah. Think of where He wants to take us. Think of how beautiful, by the grace of God, this is where He wants us to, again, to be in this harmony. To be ready to be seated in the very midst of the throne. How's that? Not that we have already. I haven't already apprehended it. Don't get me wrong. But by faith. By faith. By faith. Oh yes, He's preparing me. He's preparing you. Don't let the enemy tell you that He's not. By the grace of God, He is preparing you. So again, you have that wonderful thought. Now, Brother Copley didn't say a whole lot on this seventh chapter, but one of the precious things that he brought out was Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And I think this will continue to come together for us. I pray that God just sweetly speak to you. But again, that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should live alone." And this, he says, "I," and again, this is, saith God the Father, he says here, this is "I, God the Father, will make him an helpmeet for him." All right? Now, on the surface there, we can see that obviously he's speaking of Eve, that he's going to prepare and make for Adam. But let's jump down to Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." All right. Now, as we understand, and by the grace of God, as the Lord's revealed us through His Scripture, that the great mystery, that this mystery that's been hidden from the ages, is that Christ in me is the hope of glory. That by the grace of God, that there is going to be a people for His name's sake. That by the grace of God, it says that there is going to be that woman that is going to be prepared, that there is going to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that this is a wonderful type and shadow and a reference to the sleepy church. Here's Adam. He's asleep. All right? Adam representing that body of believers. And you'll read about that in 1 Thessalonians 5. That they're asleep. They're not awake. They're not in tune with what really is going on at this time. And during that sleep, that bridal portion is taken out of his body. And we see that God didn't use the whole body to make that bridal portion. It was a very small part. I praise God that it's a rib portion. I praise God that it shows me that it's a part that's very near and dear to the heart. But it wasn't just a portion that was taken out and made a portion. It was a portion taken out and made a complete body of her own. The bride will be a complete body in her own right. And she is made, as God was speaking there, and it's so precious. Again, it is not good that man should live alone. He's speaking there of his son. This is the plan of the ages. My son is not going to live alone. Now, my son can live with me, and my son's been living with the Holy Spirit, and this is a wonderful union here. But there's a higher plan. There's a greater plan. He's not going to live alone. He's going to have a bride. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. And this is the wonderful bride that is looking and longing for His appearing. Now, this is how this chapter, going back to chapter 7, and again, for those who haven't been here for the whole study of chapter 7, I'll try to point out just a few things to kind of keep it together for you. But let's go back into 1 Corinthians now and go back to the 7th chapter. And you'll see that this is how the Lord is really bringing out the ranks in the resurrection here. He's bringing out the different ones that are going to take different places in heaven. Now, see, we read in the 21st verse, if you remember that, it said, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. Okay, but he's speaking about servants there. Now, some saints only choose to serve. And it was so precious in studying this week. There was a woman that was talking to my wife. And she was talking about, and she's a Christian lady, and she was talking about the church that she goes to. And she says, well, it's not the perfect church, but what church is the perfect church? Well, I understand that. But I think that by the grace of God, there's a perfect church for you. And if you're looking for God's best, I think that by the grace of God, He'll find you that perfect church, and He'll reveal His truth to you. And I think there's a couple here on the front row that'll tell you that God is faithful to it. So, and again, it's for that place and time. But she was saying how it's not a perfect church, but I know God's brought me there because I'm a person that I've just got to be busy. I've got to serve in whatever church I'm in. Now, I see many heads shaking up and down, bobbing up and down, and saying, oh, yeah, I've been there and done that. And it was so funny, just as she was speaking, and I was listening to her speak to my wife, I thought, okay, Lord, just keep my mouth shut. But I was thinking, how true, and how the Martha. And not being in judgment, it's a sweet thing. However, Christ is preached, and that there are zealous folks that really love the Lord and want to do for the Lord, that's a precious thing. But I could see that there was that blindness, and I thought, yes, and how fitting that truly is. That's going to be the one that's going to want to serve and is the picture of that palm waver that's up in heaven. That's the truth. If that is your picture of what you are, in a sense, with the Lord, that's the place He'll give you up there. Now, I don't want you to think of it this laborious servant. Oh, you're going to be thrilled to be that. Just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord is an incredible thing. But God's not offering that to you today. He's offering you so much more. He's offering you up to half of the kingdom. Isn't it wonderful to know the Word of God? I'm not just quoting and spewing things. I mean, go read Esther. Go Revelation when we studied that. Like those brothers and sisters in Argentina putting down Romans 8:17. An heir. Oh, yes. And a joint heir, if so be that ye suffer together with me. Now you see in that troubled, that pressed of the marriage. Yeah, you're going to have trouble in that marriage. But the affliction is going to seem light in the exceeding eternal weight of glory that He's going to bestow upon you. Yeah. There's some hard times in a marriage, isn't there, sister? Amen. There are. But you wouldn't trade Him in. I know you wouldn't. You love Him. It's precious. Praise God when marriages are really under the hand of God here. What a type and a sign of that. Sure, there's some times, but you wouldn't give up that glory that God has given you. It's such a sweet thing. But again, they'll take that place of serving. And again, it's interesting that those who are willing to serve, they're willing to suffer in a sense, but they're only willing to partially suffer because they're really not willing to bear the reproach. There's a difference of partially suffering. That's kind of like children do. My kids suffer some of the things in our family, but they don't suffer the things that mom and dad do. And you know what I'm talking about. They just don't. They can't enter into that. There's a partial suffering. But by the grace of God, the husband and wife bear the reproach. And a lot of times that you see people like that Martha. She thought she was bearing the reproach because she was doing everything. Who was really bearing the reproach was Mary, because she was the one that was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha was bringing on the reproach. Do you get it? You ever been ridiculed by other Christians? Praise be to God, if it's suffering for the sake of the Lord. Amen. For His name's sake. And that's really what this is getting at here, is that, again, this is that reproach that she was taking on. And most Christians don't want to go that way because it's too costly. And a lot of them, it's strange. Talking like this to people that really don't have a depth of the truth. And again, it's not because somebody's better than anybody. It's just by the grace of God, you're accepting complete enlightenment. Most importantly, just illumination in your life. That you're seeing the Scriptures. You're seeing the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. You understand that by the grace of God that, yeah, there's those that are going to stand before the throne that are waving palms. There's going to be some that are even right before the throne that are going to be there. And then by the grace of God, there's going to be the ones that are in the very midst of the throne. That there is a Philadelphia church. That is the church of brotherly love. That the Word of God says, I'm even going to keep you from the hour of temptation. That's the tribulation that's going to come upon the world. I'm going to spare that group from that time. They're the ones that are going to meet the Lord in the air. Praise be to God. This is our wonderful Word of God speaking to us. That there is going to be a group of believers that are going to be pre-tribulation saints. They're going to be there before it Well, actually, they kick everything off. Because until he who is hindered is taken out of the way, it can't get going. A lot of people think, oh, the devil's just on full swing right now. No, he ain't. He is being held up by the glory of God that by his grace and God willing is in people like us tonight. And that's the truth. That's what's holding it back. That's the goodness. That's when I tell you that we bless the world. You can't even imagine how we bless the world. By the grace of God, again, God willing, not that we've attained, but we're holding back the things and the wrath that is ready to be poured forth upon this place. That's what the Bible tells you, okay? So, if you haven't heard these things, search them out because they're there. I know if a lot of Christians would be sitting out there going, what in the world? That's in here? You know? Yeah, it is. It is there. Praise God, it's there. And it's not just an interpretation. It's just called the truth. And the Spirit will reveal it. And praise God, it's so wonderful that this is the company that, again, he says that I'm going to make known to them that I love you. Now, why wouldn't that be surprising? You know, there was a disciple that the Lord kept saying he just loved. There was a special bond with that John, wasn't there? Oh, amen. Come on now. Praise God. And then they're even going to bow down and worship her. Boy, you start going there. I remember when the Lord was really bringing that out in this meeting. It was a sweet thing. It was a challenging thing for me. There were some people that they weren't necessarily accustomed to really listen to that. Brother Hill used to say it. Don't worry. In so many different ways. And not that we relied on Brother Hill or Brother Copley or Sister Bodie or Sister so-and-so or who and that. It's him. And we rely on his word. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's unchanging. Okay? It's unchanging. But it'll change me. Isn't that precious? Praise God. So again, those are the things that are going on. We want to be one of those that is willing to go without the camp. Now, Romans 12:2, and you can just, most of you, I think, would know this verse. Go ahead and turn there. It'll only take a moment, but it's so precious. Again, I think in just, again, lining up line upon line and precept upon precept to substantiate what God is doing here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is reading from the first verse, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now here's why. There's a reason for it. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see these servants, at least I think that the Lord's showing me these servants. These servants stop at the good will of God. It's good. It's Christian good. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But you know what? There's two other areas that are even getting better. There's acceptable and perfect. So let's go to the next one. We read about them earlier. We see the virgin. And this will just take a moment to wrap this up by the grace of God here. But we see these virgins that we just read about starting in the 34th verse of the 7th chapter. And I believe that this moves us to the acceptable will of God. The bride will have characteristics of the servant. The bride is a server as well, too. But it doesn't just take the place as a server. The bride is the server. The bride, by the grace of God, is going to have the characteristic of the virgin as well, too. But the bride is also going to be that worshiper that worships in spirit and truth that is sitting there at the feet of Jesus and understanding that's where the depth is going to happen. And he wills and does in us of his good pleasure, and it's a wonderful thing. But I want us to also note here that all virgins, though, are not bridal quality. Now, a lot of people say, well, wait a second again. Shouldn't a virgin be pure and the most righteous one that's ready to be offered to Christ? Well, let's think about this. Matthew 25, it talks about five virgins, foolish and wise. But you'll notice that they're not the bride. And you'll find that out in Psalms 45:14. These virgins are merely companions of the bride. They're with her. They're part of the wedding party. Great place to be. But there's a special thing in being a bride. Incredible special time being a bride. I'm visiting with my niece and, God willing, nephew-to-be. And as I was encouraging him, brother, this is her day. Yes. Now, as I was telling him too, naturally speaking, you may think that that day and the day before, maybe even the day before that, that is not the woman that you courted. She'll come back. So just be patient. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's the way the Lord is with us, you know. Said, oh no, I know that heart. I do, I know that heart. And it gets a little confused and a little bit excited about the wedding day and maybe gets thinking about a bridal cake a little too much or the guests that are coming, huh? Instead of focusing on really what is it really all about. Praise God. I think there's a lot to be said in that, but we'll move on. Proverbs 31 says, many daughters have done virtuously. And again, that's speaking of virgins there. You'll read into that. But thou excellest them all. Oh, there's a winner of that race, isn't there? Praise God. Even the Song of Solomon says that she had a little sister. No doubt a virgin. Absolutely. But she was in no wise mature enough in many different ways. It gets very specific there. She wasn't ready to be married. I appreciate our pastor how many times he'd point out, you know, there was that little thing, all perfect, but no way, shape, or form ready to be married. Oh, no. Have to be mature, have to be ready. I think 2 Corinthians 11:2, let's turn there. I think it says it so perfectly. God so sweetly brought this out. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, therefore, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, this is getting really sweet here. We see that she's a virgin, but yet she's espoused. That means she's been spoken for in marriage. And she's espoused now. This isn't talking about future tense. She's espoused now. She's making herself ready now. The wedding, I'm not getting there that it has taken place yet. No, I understand that. But everything about her is bridal quality. She's living as his wife now. The place that we're going to take someday is being determined now. We need to be living this life now. Praise God. And it's seeing it. That's the first thing, is seeing this great calling. To see that this was looked upon. Remember it said there the prophets wanted to look into this. They spoke about it. Daniel wanted to see it. The angels wanted to look into this thing. But all they could do was write about it. And it was for you. And it's for this age. And God foreknew. You know, a lot of people say, oh, why couldn't Moses have this? Or why, you're telling me David couldn't have this? And Samuel couldn't have this? I believe my God's a perfect God. And he foreknew the heart that needed to be to win this. And you don't think that you have the potential of being something just so amazing, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, it's right here for us. So again, we see that this proper gift in the seventh verse, it truly is the ultimate meaning of full maturity, the perfect will of God. It's the most desired gift. It's the most precious gift. It's the gift to grow up into Him and into Him into all things. And the exciting thing is, again, 1 Timothy 2:12. It's being offered to all. I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. And I have to think, what a wonder that we're being offered to be the helpmate for Christ. That's right. I shake my head this way too, sister. I can't imagine to be called into that. Sharing, receiving, and giving to Him the love that He needs. I'm thankful I can talk to my wonderful Lord and Savior that way. Yep. I'm thankful that there is so much more, aren't you? Isn't it wonderful? It would have been so good just to know Him as Savior. And I'm so thankful I know Him as Savior. I thrill every day knowing Him as Savior. But to know Him as bridegroom. Oh my. Let's bow our heads. Thank You, Jesus, again for this time that we can come and hear Your Word. Lord, we just ask that You would allow it to work effectually in us. Lord, help us to be about and to be willing, to be open to these things. Don't let us just sit here to be complacent, Lord God, filling up time. Let this in us, Lord God, just work that which is well-pleasing to You. Help us to grow up into all things in You. God, help us to be ready. Help us to be truly, not just saying, oh yes, we know the Lord's going to come, but to be those that are looking, longing, and especially loving the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, those that will be looking, I'm going to appear the second time too. So praise God, we're looking for it. And even so, Lord, come quickly. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.